double take. Critical, sometimes confrontational, but always amusing conversation about movies. Double Take is a cinema classics podcast produced by John DeSando.
I'm John DeSando.
And I'm Wayne Miller.
And this is Double Take.
Yep. Let's take double.
All right. Do you think Glass Onion, a Knives Out mystery, could be a classic?
Not quite.
Okay.
But still good.
All right.
To be honest, I enjoyed the first Knives Out a little bit more.
Okay.
You know, maybe the whodunit aspect, I think, was better defined in that one. This one, though, on the heels of that one, in fact, I hear that there's even another sequel that they're going to be
Oh, they were going to, and Daniel Craig has said he'd be in this one forever.
Yeah. Yeah, he does a good job. And, of course, one thing that I really did enjoy about it had that Agatha Christie feel to it. And several reviews that I've read talked about Agatha Christie's movies and the whodunits and how she really, even though that she had mysteries, they all kind of touched on, you know, other aspects of infidelity, extortion, thievery, you name it. And so I got a feeling that this will be a long-running franchise.
No, it will. And the formula is secure.
Yes.
You have some kind of a megalomaniac.
Yep.
This case is the very fine actor.
Yes.
Edward Norton.
Yes, who does a good, and the guy always amazes me. A lot of the roles, in fact, just the other day, that one movie that that he did that really got a notice with Richard Gere, Primal Fear, I think it was called. But anyhow,
yeah, and American X. Uh-huh. I mean, he's a great and quirky actor.
Yeah.
And so he plays an Elon Musk kind of guy here.
Multi-billionaire.
Right, Miles Braun.
Yep.
And he's invited five of his, we'll put quotes around this word, friends.
Yes, yeah, for a murder mystery party, you know, type of thing that we've been to before with our friends, and it could get kind of interesting.
I think that the hook on this one was that all of his friends had come, and he's the one to be murdered.
Yes.
In the mystery.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
So already we have Johnson and gang throwing little red canards all over the place for us.
Yeah. And yeah. And in the vein of a number of Christie type of movies, particularly the Hercule Poirot ones like Murder on the Orient Express and Death on the Nile, that we've got an all-star cast.
Oh, for sure.
And so we're ripe with red herrings in this.
And,
like an Agatha Christie and like Hercule Poirot.
Yeah, yeah.
Here come strolling in to the both amusement and surprise of everybody is the Daniel Craig character.
The world's greatest detective.
Yes.
Which I'm sure you and I would say is arguable.
Very arguable. But in a way, kind of a Poirot type of character.
Oh, right. And
who is rather full of himself and overly confident.
With a strong appeal to bumbling, which, of course, we know is not real. He's not missing a trick.
No,
but
he isn't, but his interaction with the other guests makes it very interesting.
Most notable of those for me would be Kate Hudson.
Oh, Kate Hudson. Yeah, lovely woman.
Yeah, going over the top as a former fashion model or designer.
Yeah, and the ones, and a couple of black actors that I really like, Leslie Odom Jr.
Yeah.
And also
playing the scientist.
Yes, and Janelle Monáe, who I think does a really interesting
job. She was in the other one, right? She didn't, or her sister,
it was somebody,
didn't come off well in the first one.
No, and because they made too much of her character in the first one, and in a way, the Daniel Craig character with a great name there, you know, the No Blank.
No Blank.
And he was, in a way, more of a character in the very first one. Here he carries the movie. The other one they expected, and her name escapes me, but in the first Knives Out movie, the woman who I think was related to the Christopher Plummer, you know, character.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Stuff like
Believe me, I can't keep them.
I bet it's...
Catherine Hahn is pretty good here, too. Yeah,
she is.
Playing one of these current liberal governors.
Yes.
But she's a governor, yeah, even of New York State, I think.
Yeah, in this, which makes it quite interesting.
Yeah.
And, of course, you know, a lot of people remember from a lot of movies that she's made, and is really a very good comedian, but from Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
And could do really... but, you know, the one character, too, that really kind of... was interesting to watch was Dave Bautista.
Yep.
And that
Duke Cody.
Yes. And a big muscular right. guy.
A YouTube, and, I mean, he has a million, first one to hit a million for subscribers.
Yeah. So, and he plays a very interesting character. And of course, we've seen him in a number of other movies.
Yeah, he's,
I believe
he's
a Guardians of the Galaxy, yeah, you know, but.
He's a The Rock knockoff.
Yes. Yes, not in some ways funnier than The Rock.
Oh yeah,
but
he takes himself much less seriously.
But the guy does have charisma. He doesn't have the looks of like Jason Momoa, the
right.
Aquaman, and of course from Game of Thrones. But anyhow, all the characters here do a good job and make it very interesting. But also, what I think made this a little bit more, for me, kind of an Agatha Christie-like type of whodunit, the exotic location. Here, you know, in Greece.
An island in Greece.
Yes, beautiful location, which, of course, Christie did quite well in a number of her movies.
We're here to help our listeners. So what's this word, the glass onion? What is that?
From what I've read, it was something that with kind of an onion-shaped bottle, it was a bottle, and that I think they transported wine or oil, other things in it on ships because it would be less likely to tip over.
Okay.
And so that's what the whole glass onion, which I'm trying to think what, you know.
Well, let me add to that.
Okay.
The glass onion was the name of the bar to which all five used to go. That's how they connected each other.
Yep.
Exactly. Yep. And it appears in some way in a Beatles song.
Oh, that I didn't
yeah.
know.
In fact, they play the Walrus song at the end over on the credits.
Yes,
and,
that's right.
And
yeah.
they had disclosed, the Beatles had disclosed long ago, that the Walrus was actually... I forget which one of their characters, which one of the boys it was.
Okay.
Because there were so many people that had so many different interpretations, such as they're walking.
It sounds like it'd be more like John Harris, or I mean George Harrison.
Right.
Four. But the more stranger one of the Beatles, but so Glass Onion. Their bar would be kind of like our Bravo.
Yeah, it would be, except we wouldn't have Michaela.
No, no. Or a number of our other
or
friends.
Troy.
Or Sheba.
We ought to make a movie. Sounds like we've got a cast of characters already.
It could be.
Right, now, what about your whodunit aficionado? Are they going to be satisfied with this? Are there moments at which you – are there gotcha moments where you say, ah, I think I know who it is, that kind of thing that all you nerds look for?
Yeah. Trying to add up the clues, but in this one, you really need to kind of sit back and watch it. You know, I was just down at Franklin, and several people said, oh, you're here early. I said, well, I'm recording a review. And they said, oh, what? I said, well, it was a press screening of The Glass Onion, a Knives Out murder mystery, and which is going to be released soon. And one of the people said, oh, I really like that first Knives Out.
Uh-huh. You know? Yeah,
and
yeah.
I said, you'll like this one.
I think I could call that one a classic. I think you're right. Questionable on this one.
Yeah. Because sometimes it's almost like several of these film adaptation of Hercule Poirot's character. The feature-length movies, going back to Peter Ustinov doing it, but and now recently Kenneth Branagh, that It started out with a classic whodunit, both movie series, Murder on the Orient Express. Well, Murder on the Orient Express, who played Paul Rowe in that one, was Albert Finney. But it kicked it off. The other ones were good, but not... You couldn't compare them too much to the classic.
Tell me it's not a tough haul.
Yeah.
When you have such a big hit as Knives Out to follow it up. So I think we have to give Rian Johnson and crew credit. I can feel you fishing around to talk about your other favorite whodunits. You're already bringing in several allusions.
You heard the wheels grinding in my head.
I did.
And, of course, our last double take and cinema classics, we talked about Sherlock Holmes, of course, the epitome of detective work.
Yeah.
This one, though, reminds me, we had talked about the Agatha Christie ones and Hercule Poirot. In some ways, it also reminds me, going back to the 30s, a movie series I thoroughly enjoyed.
I'll bet I know what it is.
Charlie Chan?
Oh, no.
What were you thinking?
Thin Man?
Thin Man is a good one. That you're absolutely right, because they all have something in common, and that is a number of red herrings.
Yes,
to pick from, and usually a number of distinct personalities. But one thing they always have in common: an inscrutable detective. You know, be it Nick Charles and his lovely wife, Nora Charles, in the Thin Man movie series. Charlie Chan. And then, of course, we talked about Hercule Poirot, but another one of Christie's, Miss Marple, Jane Marple.
Right, right, right.
Because they would bring a lot of the... It would end the same. You don't know who done it. There's all the cast and characters around as the detective explains some of the clues that only he or she could pick up and to put it together to nab the killer.
Well, you had mentioned 1974, I think, the Murder on the Orient Express. Would that be the one?
Yes, with Albert Finney.
I have another one in 1974 that I'll bet you wouldn't even consider unless I suggested it to you.
Well?
1974 is your favorite movie of all time.
Oh, Chinatown.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely. But in that one...
I mean, I know it's not...
But we do have
a detective.
Yeah. And, you know, once again, and of course, I always consider Chinatown a classic.
I know.
And here, they follow... they're going to try, in a way, to kind of maybe make it a bit of a franchise, because they made a second one that... Nicholson himself even directed, whereas, of course, the first one was Roman Polanski. But to me, I was sorely disappointed in the sequel to Chinatown.
A
number of years later, maybe 12, 13 years later, like late 40s instead of mid-late 30s.
Sometimes the original is way too good for you even to attempt it. Now, I got another one for you, because you are my special guest, as you always are. Another one from your repertoire, one of your beat us over the head, because you love this director, has a couple that don't have a detective but have that feel to it. And I am referring to...
Hitchcock?
Yeah.
Yep. And particularly something like... now, of course... wasn't who done it. We knew who did it. But of course, my favorite Hitchcock was Rear Window.
Yes, and that's my first.
And not even a detective, whereas all these other ones we've mentioned, amateur or professional or even police, they're detectives.
Would The Man Who Knew Too Much be one? Doesn't have a detective, though, right?
Yeah, in a way. What it brings to mind, and of course, you know, I always drag in different TV things in this. And here's one thing you have to look very quickly for it here in Glass Onion: a very small little cameo by Angela Lansbury.
Oh.
Basically her last movie.
Mm.
Yes. And so I think, once again, an amateur detective, her TV series, Murder, She Wrote, that she won a number of Emmys for, and much beloved. And, of course, she just recently passed away. But here, once again, a cast of characters and the whodunit, and she pulls out, you know, some of the clues. Another one to remind this type of genre, whodunit genre, where you gather all the usual suspects together. Not a detective, but a defense attorney, Perry Mason.
Oh, very good, yeah.
Because there's always a number of characters, and you don't know who until he gets them blabbering and crying on the stand, you know, as he pulls together some of his clues, why not his client, but they did the murder.
And I think a little bit according to your formula for the whodunit, that you wouldn't always put in that category in 1941, the Maltese Falcon.
Yes, yeah, Maltese Falcon, a very good one.
You know, and
bring them together. But since you had brought up about the Thin Man, and I always really enjoyed those, and they, once again, a franchise can have some diminishing returns, you know, as far as the quality of the movie. But I'll never forget, I always loved it, the dinner party at the end of the very first, The Thin Man.
Ah.
And all, like, nearly 10 people there that any one of them could have done it. And he pulls out some of the clues, but he didn't know until the end that he knew that he was going to shake it up and the murderer would reveal him or herself.
Mm-hmm. If you ask people to list the whodunits that they're our favorite, I'll bet you this one would appear on everybody's list, and it's relatively recent, 1985, Clue.
Oh,
would you think?
Yeah, yeah. In fact, I just recently, on some station, I get that recently saw it again. And of course, it was quite humorous, to say the least, you know, with some of the characters. I would say, and of course, I've always enjoyed playing the game.
Yeah, right. So with the game and the movie, I think it's one that would come up as frequently as any other.
But there was one that I would say I enjoyed better. And Peter Falk was in it, playing kind of a Sam Spade type of character, Murder by Death.
Oh, boy. I forgot about that one.
Yeah, and that, once again, a number of characters, and it was a comedy. And I think Truman Capote invited all these people there, and then, of course, winds up getting knocked off. And, of course, Capote really made the movie, his eccentric personality. But that was enjoyable.
Let me throw another one at you. Again, not right within the formula, but in 1963, Charade.
Okay. Yeah.
Cary Grant?
Yeah.
Audrey Hepburn?
Yep. Once again, though, more of a spy type of intrigue type of thing.
A slick movie that isn't...
Yeah. Well, and it was kind of a... it was enjoyable. And I think we did years ago, decades ago, when we had that on Educable 25, the... TV, the little series that we were on the panel for, World Film Classics, and we reviewed that. And I think one of the other panelists really enjoyed Charade a lot more than I kind of cared for.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah. The, but with that one, it was kind of a bit of a knockoff of a Hitchcock type of movie, like by Northwest.
Yes, for sure.
You know, and stuff. With Cary Grant, one of the ultimate Hitchcock heroes, was in this, in that one. But also, if I remember right, Charade had a couple of really good character actors. George Kennedy and James Coburn were in it.
Well, one that I'll toss out that maybe not too many other people would put in there, but the minute they think about it, they could see Robert Altman's Gosford Park. In 2001.
Yes,
With the whole host of characters upstairs, downstairs.
Exactly, yeah. Which is what I kind of like.
Yes.
And I think that's what in some ways, I kind of like Knives Out a little bit more. It was a little bit more claustrophobic, as was Murder on the Orient Express, which really, even though the production value is excellent, but you get, when somebody's all kind of like housed together, you know, stuck, the claustrophobia, I think, adds to the tension.
Yes, I agree with you, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
I wonder why we didn't have more murders during the pandemic lockdown then.
And then actually, the Glass is set in the pandemic.
Yes, yeah, and yeah.
Really within the months right. of the beginning of it. So that's yes. a very nice additional. Well, Wayne Miller, thank you.
Did we beat this one to death?
I was going to slip out of our podcast here.
Oh, okay.
Maybe... that we pulled some of our listeners out of their big sleep so that we could say our long goodbye.
Well, murder my sweet.